compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Hard to believe the week is nearly over, but here we are. 888-914-9149. That's the number to call to be on the program. And all you regulars already know that. I know that. But just FYI, if you're brand new to the program, that's how you get on the air. And if you get a busy signal, which usually starts to happen as you get further into the hour, just hit redial. 888-914-9149. Just so happens, and I have two emails that came in from two different ladies, and they're related to the same thing, although these women don't know each other. So you may remember I read an email from a lady named, I didn't say her name, but she was writing, I had to catch myself there. She didn't say I couldn't say her name, I just felt like I shouldn't, that's all, just a judgment call. And she lives in Waco, and you may remember she has a growing family. I think she has three children. As she mentioned, she said that she was not really sure. She was ambivalent about having more children. And she said yes to God. She was blessed with a baby on the way. The baby died in miscarriage. And so that was the essence of her email. And she asked for, you know, some advice, some thoughts on how to deal with that. So I gave what I thought was an answer to it yesterday. So I have an email that came in from her this morning. In fact, it just came in within the last several minutes. And I'm hoping she's listening because first of all, I want to acknowledge your email, both the first one and this one. And I'm hesitating only because I keep wanting to say her first name. But as I said, I decided not to. But she knows who she is. So her email this morning is, "Hi, Patrick. I just wanted to thank you for answering my question yesterday. I didn't know about the NAPRO technology, so I'll definitely look into that. I feel like you're the Catholic father I never had. Your words were exactly what I needed to hear. I shared the episode with my husband as well, and he was very moved by it as well. God bless you." Well, how's that for making your day, Cyrus? First thing out of the gate? That's pretty good. That's pretty cool. So thank you for that, number one. I'm glad that what I said yesterday was helpful to you and to your husband, so praise God for that. And the second email comes from a lady who heard my reading of your first email and wanted to respond to you. And it just so happens she lives in your area as well. She lives in the Waco area. And she wrote in, I'm not going to say her first name either, just for the sake of your privacy. She wrote in and she said, this is in response to the Waco mom. She says, "Hi, Patrick, I live near Waco and I have found it is a very difficult area for Catholics as it is predominantly Protestant. I would love to give you my information to pass along to the mom experiencing miscarriages and a shaken faith. I have also had the same experience after five healthy pregnancies and have struggled to find community in Waco until recently." And she gives the, you know, basic contact information, and she says she would like to help the first lady in some way, if it's possible. And she says, "My children and I listen every day." Well, thank you, and shout out to you and your kids. So isn't it great that people listen to the program, and not only are they gaining something from it, hopefully, but also they're wanting to help. They're wanting to give back to the community, as they say. So thank you both for that. I wanted to mention your emails both together so that you would know, especially for the first mom, that there are lots of people out there, lots of moms especially, who are very sympathetic and very empathetic to the situation that you're in right now. So we'll see what happens on this particular point, but I wanted both of you to know how good it is that you are listening and that people are there wanting to help. A different email on a totally different topic. This one comes in from Eamon, with whom I have corresponded in more or less about the last 6 months or last year or so. He's one of our LDS listeners, Mormon listeners, listeners who belong to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's their official title. And he wrote in yesterday and he said, "Dear Patrick, we, the LDS Church, are with you in regard to boycotting these terrible companies which denigrate the Catholic Church and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, I was sickened by that Dodgers ad, and I must tell you that I won't have anything to do with that company or any other company which is in opposition to our Lord. Even though we don't agree on a lot of things, we do agree with supporting the cause of Christ. I think we both see eye to eye on these matters, as it is written in Isaiah. We might not always agree on everything, but it is perfectly clear to me that Satan and his forces have hijacked this country's moral compass. We must press on and do what Jesus Christ would have us do. Godspeed. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I do appreciate that, and I concur with you. Whenever there's an opportunity, even though we may disagree on doctrinal issues, what have you, whenever there's an opportunity to pull together and stand shoulder to shoulder against things that are, for lack of a better term, a common enemy, then we should do that. And I'm really glad that you feel this way. I certainly feel this way, and I do appreciate not only your email, but the fact that you listen on a consistent basis. Thank you for that. And a shout out to all of our LDS listeners. I know you're out there because I hear from you on the show from time to time, but I also receive your emails on a fairly regular basis. Probably, I don't know, maybe one every week or so, and not all from the same person, obviously. I remember back in the days when I was doing public speaking, I did that for 35 years nonstop, all around the country. I was always going somewhere, and I enjoyed it, and I was sort of assuming that this is what I would always do. But at the end of last year, I retired from public speaking. I didn't retire. I mean, obviously, I'm still on the air talking with you, so this is my main focus and has been for a long time. But I retired officially from public speaking. But invariably, especially in places where there was a fairly high concentration of LDS people, like in the Phoenix area, for example, parts of California, invariably, when I would speak at parishes there, they would come up and say, you know, we're LDS, we listen to your program, or we appreciate things about the Catholic Church, and even though we're not becoming Catholic, and we know you're not becoming LDS, we just wanted to be here to gain more information or to say hello, that kind of thing. And I've always appreciated that, always, very sincerely. 888-914-9149. Let's get to some phone calls. We'll start with Rachel in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Good morning, Rachel. Welcome.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes.
I have a question for you, but a little bit of backstory first.
Okay.
So 20 years ago, I was really good friends, and my friend, she had a newborn daughter and asked me to be a godparent, and so I happily accepted. And over the course of 3 years or so, like, some unfortunate events happened, and we weren't friends anymore and didn't have contact. Fast forward to about a year ago, I was listening to your show, and you were discussing with a caller and afterwards about the role of a godparent and that it's not an honorary title or show up for cake and bring a gift, that kind of thing. And my heart just became really heavy after hearing that, because I basically lost contact with my friend and inevitably her daughter, who I was the godparent to, and, you know, I was derelict in my duties. And so last year, then I wrote like a poignant letter to her and the husband and the wife as well. And honestly, like, expressing my apologies for failing in my role and my duties as a godmother and asking for their forgiveness and asking if we could have a relationship, if they were open to it.
That's very magnanimous of you. It's very gracious of you.
Thank you. So that was like over a year ago, and I didn't hear anything back in return. And then about 3 weeks ago, I received a text from my goddaughter and telling me, like, basically apologizing that it took her so long to, you know, respond to my letter, but telling me she goes by a male name now, using he, him pronouns. And she also said that she understands if it's something that I can't accept, but if it is, that she's open to getting to know me. And my stomach dropped, and, you know, I just prayed to God and said, like, how do you want to use me in this situation? Didn't really know how to respond to that. I was not really expecting that.
Did you follow up with her yet? Did you get back to her?
I did not. I just wanted to get some advice from you. And I guess, like, since this initial text from her, she sent me a few more messages and asked if I'm interested in a relationship and being her friend. And so this is my question to you is like, how do you recommend to proceed knowing that there's not a relationship or any trust established at all with her? I mean, she doesn't even know me. The last time I saw her, she was maybe like 3 or 4 years old. So,
how old is she now?
Which is 20.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I see a great opportunity here for you and for her. And I can understand why you would feel nervous or apprehensive, because obviously I'm reading into all this, but my assumption is that you don't agree with the transgender ideology. So there's right there, right at the very outset, there's this big speed bump. So I do see, however, some real opportunity for God's grace to work. And as you were describing this, and as you were, you know, expressing your apprehension, I was thinking about what Jesus says. This is in Luke chapter 5. And the Pharisees and their scribes murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And for me, that statement, of course, you're not Jesus, I'm not Jesus. That's true. But we also, you know, we're called to pattern ourselves after Jesus and to seek to do not only what he did, but to do things in the spirit that he did. And as you know from reading the Gospels, Jesus did not condone any sinful activity. He didn't go to eat with tax collectors or sinners, prostitutes, various other people, as a way to confirm their sin or affirm their sin. He went to reach them in hopes that they would listen and they would repent. See, this is what he says in verse 32. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So, I don't know. My initial instinct is that if I were in your situation, I would cheerfully pursue this opportunity and see what surprises God might have. And you could always say, you know, sure, yeah, we don't see eye to eye on this issue, but that's okay. You know, I still care about you. I still am hoping for your happiness. And if I can be of any help to you, if I can be a shoulder to cry on or someone to listen, I'm happy to do whatever I can to help you because I care about you. And if you just left it at that, you don't even have to say God or Jesus or, I mean, you will get to that. I'm not saying that you would never get to that, but you don't have to lead with that. And I wonder if you led with compassion and you led with kind of an open door policy, maybe, and if I had to guess, it wouldn't surprise me if there's a rupture between her and her parents. And maybe she doesn't feel like she's got a mother figure in her life that she can really talk to when she needs that. And eventually she will need that. And maybe if you open the door and keep it open and let her know that you care about her and you want to help her, if she needs any help, you're there to help. And then see where it goes. And maybe the Holy Spirit will blow this in a direction that neither of you is expecting.
So I am open to doing that. I was surprised, you know, a year later when I got a response back. And I don't want to close this door. Like, I want to keep it open, and obviously it's going to have to go slow with, you know, building a relationship and trust and things like that. But I guess, like, initially, like, when we first meet or talk, you know, because she goes by another name, you know, like, how do you recommend that I approach that with her?
That's delicate, because obviously if that's the leading edge, and for her that very well may be the litmus test as to whether or not she's going to pursue any kind of an interaction with you, is whether or not you acquiesce to her desired name or her pronouns or something like that. Maybe you can try this. When you first meet, you can say, you know, I realize that a lot has happened in your life since I last saw you 17 years ago. And when I knew you then, you were a little girl and your name was whatever her name is. And that's how I knew you. So please forgive me for not having the benefit of watching you grow up and being part of your life for the last 17 years. This is all new to me. And I mean, there's not, how can she be unhappy with somebody who says that? That's perfectly reasonable. Then you might say something like this and say, I really believe in diversity and tolerance. And it's a very important part of my worldview that we should practice tolerance toward other people who are different from us and who look at life differently than we do. And we should tolerate them in whatever ways are reasonable to do so. And we shouldn't try to force them to do something just because this is what we think. We shouldn't try to force them to do that. Now, she's going to hear you in saying this. She will assume that you're sort of paving the way for, doesn't really matter what pronouns you want, everything's fine, gender ideology, that's fine, whatever you want to do, do what you want to do. But in fact, what you can do is you can get her to agree with you, because she does agree with you. She does agree, and she would be the first one to say, I believe in diversity and tolerance and not judging other people because their views are different from mine. So if you go into the conversation in a loving, friendly way and you say, these values are very important to me, and I just want to share that with you, since we haven't seen each other for 17 years, I just want to share with you, that's a big part of my life. And I'm just wondering, how do you feel about that? And I'm certain of it, she'll say, I feel the same way. Then, when it comes time for you to say, I'm uncomfortable being, you know, being forced to use pronouns that conflict with my way of looking at the world, and that's why I'm so glad that you already reassured me that you are a tolerant person and that you believe in diversity of opinion and you don't judge people. And I really appreciate that, because that'll make our relationship so much smoother, because I'm not going to insist that you do anything, and I'm really glad that you're not going to insist that I do anything. And we can both be ourselves, and we can both speak freely. Even if we disagree, that's okay. We can still have a friendly relationship. Now what you've done is you've created a situation in which, first of all, there's an opportunity there for some kind of progress, because she may say, you know what? I didn't think of it that way, but okay, I can live with that, and maybe something good can come of it. But the other possibility is she may say, no, I want you to call me by my pronouns. I want you to acknowledge the fact that I'm now a man. And then you can say, but I thought you said you believed in tolerance and not judging people and not forcing people. I thought you said that's what you believed in. And what will happen is, I'll leave it at this, what will happen is, it will bring to the surface this inherent inconsistency, this inherent incoherence in that worldview. The demand for tolerance, the demand for not being judged, the demand for diversity. And yet when it comes right down to it, very often, many of these people are the ones who are the least willing to do any of those things if it conflicts with their worldview. So you might try that and see what happens. It's a creative way of finessing that speed bump in such a way that maybe something really positive can come from that.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds real good.
Keep praying. Well, keep asking the Lord to guide you. He will. I'm sure he's avidly attentive to this situation. And ask your guardian angel to help you. Ask her guardian angel to help you. All of those things will go in good, will serve you well when the time comes. Speaking of time coming, I have to take a break. Thanks for that call, Rachel. That's a fascinating situation. And I would dearly love to know how things develop. I was going to say good, bad, or indifferent. I hope it's all good. But regardless, if you feel like calling me down the road, I'd be interested in how that goes down. Thank you. I'll be right back. Our sponsor, Christendom College, offers our listeners access to free online classes at getprinciples.com/truth. Acclaimed philosopher Dr. John Cutaback is teaching a class now, Understanding Human Nature, at getprinciples.com/truth.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I've got a few things for your Good to Know file. I thought this was really neat. And I had read about this years ago and forgot about it. But I was scrolling through Twitter doing show prep, and I saw a picture of Robin Williams looking kind of glum. And next to him was this rather, you know, scraggly looking guy who looked really happy. And Robin Williams had his arm around this guy's shoulders. And I stopped because the picture was very arresting. So Robin Williams is looking a bit glum. The guy next to him is looking very happy. And the caption is this: Robin Williams had a remarkable practice of providing employment opportunities to people experiencing homelessness, while working on various film projects. Throughout his career, it is estimated that he engaged around 1,500 different homeless people. In the accompanying photograph, Williams can be seen alongside Craig Castaldo, a man who faced homelessness in the 1980s, but has since become a celebrated figure in the New York movie industry. And it's really a touching picture because, of course, we know that Robin Williams eventually went on to commit suicide. May God rest his soul. He suffered terribly from depression. And I don't think anybody really knew that outside of maybe his inner circle. But in the midst of his own suffering, isn't it a great thing that he went out of his way to help people who were just considered by most people the dregs of society? And when you look at the guy he's got his arm around, this guy looks like he could just easily have stepped out of his sleeping bag on a sidewalk in any city, USA. And he's smiling. Look at that smile, Cyrus. He's grinning ear to ear. He's happy.
This particular guy ended up being he's in hundreds and hundreds of movies.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Greg Castaldo.
Yeah, he's Greg the
Craig, I'm sorry, Craig Castaldo.
Oh, Craig, I think he has a nickname. Like, he always has a radio around his neck. He's like,
yeah, you see like a little boombox.
Yeah, now it's escaping me what his nickname is, but this guy shows up in the background of movies all the time.
And that's courtesy of Robin Williams. It makes me wonder. I mean, I'm sure that early on he probably, some homeless guys asking for money for food or coffee. And I mean, certainly Robin Williams at some point had to say, you know what? Let's do something better than that. Sure, I can get you a cup of coffee. Come on over here, we'll get you some coffee. But would you like a job? What? Would you like a job? Doing what? Well, we need some people to work on this movie that I'm doing. We can get you, you know, scale wages for whatever that job would command. I can only imagine how he changed the lives of these 1,500 different people, all of whom they say were homeless. Maybe they're not now. Hopefully many of them are no longer homeless, like this guy. I bet he's not homeless. I don't know anything about him.
I think he still is homeless, unfortunately.
Really? With all that work?
Yeah, and he's like a favorite among celebrities, thanks to Robin Williams. I think I've seen him with like Meryl Streep and, I mean, like the biggest names in Hollywood. And this guy is just really friendly, and they're friendly with him.
I hope Radio they don't Man, treat him like a mascot. Radio Man.
No, they're all very kind. And
I thought I was Radio Man.
He's Radio Man.
Now wait a doggone minute. he's older than me by looks.
Yes, he's 72.
Oh, he's definitely older than me. He's way older than me, but that's okay. I'm not too far behind. Okay, I'll let him have the title Radio Man, but I hope they don't treat him like a mascot. You know, like a pet.
That's not what I've seen. I haven't studied this guy, but the little bit I've seen, it's all very caring and supportive and loving. It's really nice.
You're right. And that's what I liked about this was that, I mean, here's this guy, Robin Williams, very successful, made a lot of money. Everyone knew him, super popular comic, all of it. And he was dying inside. And in the middle of all that, he went out of his way to try to help these people who are basically invisible to the average person. They just walk by and don't even see them. So I wanted to share that, a little ray of sunshine and a good reminder to pray for the repose of the soul of
Robin Williams.
And I was just thinking of all the other people who have died.
Yeah, out of all the celebrities that I've, you know, we we love celebrities too much, but Robin Williams hurt. Like that was that one, because he's just the happy. He's a clown, you know. He's mm-hmm. a great actor, but he's so funny, so quick, and then to be hurting that much inside, and nobody knew.
Yeah, I know it. Really is a tragedy. How long has he been gone now? 10 years, something like that.
Yeah, I can find that out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's about 10 years, if I had to guess, but.
Yeah, he died August 11th, 2014.
9 years.
Wow.
Well, okay, so I didn't want to get into the sadness part of it, but just to say that isn't it a great example of somebody doing something more or less quietly to help these other people? We can go and do likewise. Also, and this is not a happy story in this case for Mark Zuckerberg. He's the head of... Well, Facebook started Facebook, and they changed the name to Meta because he's super into this whole metaverse. The Sun's got a story. He's unveiled a new metaverse product on his social media accounts. The Meta CEO announced the MetaQuest 3 headset, which is coming this fall, despite reports claiming that the metaverse is dead and has dwindling users. Zuckerberg released the announcement on his Facebook and Instagram. He says, introducing MetaQuest 3, the first mainstream headset with high-res color mixed reality, 40% thinner and more comfortable. Better displays and resolution, next-gen Qualcomm chipset with 2x the graphics performance, our most powerful headset yet, coming this fall. It's only $499. The only problem is, as the article goes on to explain, that even though he's invested billions of dollars and he's rebranded his company. So Facebook, which I guess was pretty successful, is now a subsidiary of Meta, which is the feminine form of the Hebrew word for dead. It's so strange to me. The Hebrew word for dead, met, and the feminine form, as I understand it, Meta. And that's the word that they picked for the company. I guess they didn't consult any rabbis when they did that. But anyway, there are only 38 users. I found that really hard to believe.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, let's multiply this out. Do you have your calculator or just put on your thinking cap? So the Quest 3 will cost $499, and let's multiply that times 38 users or buyers, because they're all going to want to buy it, obviously. You don't want to be in the metaverse without the latest gear. So, and why don't we just be generous and let's say that within the next week they get 2 more users. So let's make it 40. 40 users times, what was that price tag again? $499? And all the fourth grade kids are doing the math in their heads and they have the answer already. Okay, so just shy of $20,000. They're going to make $20,000 selling these things to the 38 or 40 people that the thing that I find odd about the whole thing is, at first I thought, well, maybe he's onto something. Maybe this is the next big thing. Maybe this is like the equivalent of what the internet was back in the mid-90s. But nobody seems to be biting down on this. Nobody seems to want this. I don't understand it. So, have you invested heavily in Meta, Cyrus?
I have not.
Okay. Shifting gears for a second, are you a smoker?
No.
You had a kind of edge to your voice,
growled. I was the kid.
You snarled.
I was the kid
there.
In the back seat of the station wagon with all the windows rolled up and mom's, you know, smoking two packs
too.
A day. I was that kid.
My dad did that too.
We'd be
in the station wagon. We had a Town and Country. What kind of station wagon was that? It had the wood paneling on the sides.
It's a Woody.
Yeah. And we would be in that vehicle, and my dad would, you know, he'd light up and he'd have his window open like a millimeter
yeah,
of air.
That's exactly right.
And then you go by and you see other kids in other cars in the same situation where they're in a cloud of smoke and the dad's got the window open just a millimeter. I went on many car rides like that.
I had friends that were in the same situation, and they were like, I'm never going to smoke. And then they grew up and smoked.
Oh.
I was like, what? I don't
think
get
it's
it.
A I have not smoked myself, so I can't speak from any experience. I know many people who do. My dad quit. My father-in-law quit. Many people important to me in my life have quit smoking, and I thank God for that. But the reason I bring this up is because in Canada now, the government is mandating that all tobacco manufacturing, you know, whatever tobaccos get to the, I'm sorry, whatever cigarettes get to the market, they have to have printed on, not just on the package, but on each cigarette. Each individual cigarette will have a warning printed on the paper of the cigarette that says cigarettes cause leukemia. Poison in every puff is another one. Tobacco smoke harms children is another one. The Canadian health official said in a news release, the new tobacco products, appearance, packaging, and labeling regulations will be part of the government of Canada's continued efforts to help adults who smoke to quit, to protect youth and non-tobacco users from nicotine addiction, and to further reduce the appeal of tobacco. I mean, that's about as explicit as you could possibly get to have it printed on each. So you, every time you look at the cigarette, as you take it out of the pack, and you put it in your mouth and you light the cigarette, you have to see this warning message every single time. I really wonder, I have a feeling it probably will help to curb tobacco use. And I hope it has that net effect, not because I, you know, I'm not an anti-tobacco activist or anything like that. Never have been. But just for the sake of people's health and to avoid another addiction, there are plenty of things that are addictive in this life, that's for sure. And if you can eliminate yet another thing that you're addicted to, that's a good thing, if you ask me.
So these cigarettes, they're filled with some tobacco and then whatever chemicals they throw in there, and now they're going to add ink.
I hadn't thought about that. Well, maybe it's organic ink.
I don't want to be anywhere near that secondhand ink.
They pulled, the red M&Ms for a while? They pulled one of the M&M colors because it had a certain dye in it.
Yeah, they brought it back. Bad. They shouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have mixed emotions about that. There's so much that the Canadian government does that I think is ridiculous and even reprehensible. So my default position is to say, oh, that's stupid. But then I read the article and I thought, actually, I don't think that's stupid. And for me, there was a kind of a tie-in with, I was thinking about Adam and Eve. So God gave them the first warning label, except he did it in person. They're in the garden and he says, everything here is for you, all these wonderful things. Adam, you named all the animals. I made a wife for you. You guys are naked and not ashamed. You have this wonderland, this paradise. Just have fun. That's really all God wanted them to do, is just enjoy. That's your commandment. Lord, what do you want us to do? Enjoy. Oh, but there's one thing. What's that? See that tree over there? That one? Yeah, that tree right there. See the ones with the apples on it? Yeah. Everything here is for you. Enjoy. That's all I really want you to do, is just enjoy, except for that one tree. Just don't go near that tree. Don't. That's not for you. Everything else is for you. That's not for you. Okay. I think we can live with that, Adam and Eve say. So off they go. What do? The serpent beguiles Eve. Did God really tell you that you're not supposed to eat the fruit of this tree? Did he really tell you that if you eat that fruit, that you're going to die? He didn't. He's just lying to you. He just doesn't want you to become smart like him. And Eve saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye, and she had some, and then she takes it to her husband. And, you know, we don't really know if to what extent Adam put up much of a fight. So he does it. Next thing you know, the fall takes place and everything that happened after that. These cigarettes, the Canadian cigarette story kind of reminds me of that, but also reminds me of, in your own everyday life, when you're looking at something, you know, maybe I'll do this, maybe I won't, there's a built-in warning label on that. And in your conscience is saying, that's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. Don't do that. Hey, that right there, don't do that, because the warning label that's encoded into your very heart, into your very psyche, is telling you that you shouldn't do that. And what a crazy species we are. It's like, to me, it would be like the person who has the warning label on the package of cigarettes and opens it anyway. And then there's a warning label on the cigarette itself, as he puts it into his mouth and lights up, it's to me, it's like that crazy that we as human beings, knowing that certain things are wrong, that certain things are going to hurt us, and yet we do them anyway. So warning labels, they are best heeded, in my view. Let's take a break. We'll come back to phone calls, 888-914-9149. And by the way, all of these stories, if you want to share them with people in your life, coworkers, whatever, all of them are available on the show page. Just go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. Look on the right side under the Twitter feed, and you'll find all these articles and everything else there. I'll be right back.
Stop being disobedient to the Almighty, period.
This hour is sponsored by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Get the best premiums and discounts, all without charging fees, through Mission Insurance Solutions, part of the Notre Dame Federal Credit Union family. Go to yourmissioninsurance.com. That's yourmissioninsurance.com. I recognize this song. This song was, it's all coming back to me. Boston, 1977.
Is this in your top 10 favorite albums?
I listen to this album endlessly. Let's turn it up just a little bit. I'm recognizing it. Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. Here's the message. Oh, man. There's no warning label on this song. Back in the 70s, they didn't put warning labels on songs about smoking.
I've seen commercials where they say how healthy they are. Nine out of ten doctors prefer.
There's a doctor in a lab coat and a stethoscope around his neck saying how healthy it is to smoke.
Yes, it's got to be true.
Oh, yeah, this was a great album. Hey, young people, if you're not familiar with Boston, this is where I would start. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Gracie. You know, it's funny, Gracie, you're going to like this. I know that you live in Queen Creek, Arizona, but my screen says you live in Clean Creek, Arizona, which is like the next town over.
Yeah, it's Queen Creek.
My screen says Clean Creek, but that's okay. Welcome.
No, it's Green Creek. Yes, yeah, so I just wanted to ask you about a friend. She's a childhood friend, and I just started talking to her lately, and she posts a lot of Facebooks, and she's always putting like a let's pray for this. And she always says to the universe. And I was just wondering how I could respond to that.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there are different ways to respond. You could say, what do you mean by that? And see what she says. You could say something more proactive. You could say, well, you know that the universe is not a person, don't you? And see what she says. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different ways to handle it. But I'm guessing that she has a sort of new agey, you know, everything is connected in some spiritual way, and that the universe is some kind of an entity that we need to appease or greet from time to time or something like that. And none of that's true, of course. But if you can get her to the point to say, you know, I've got something even better than that.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me.
All right.
And then you can say, it's the God who created the universe. He's above the universe. He's outside the universe. He brought the universe into existence just by speaking it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you should get to know him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That sounds wonderful. I love it. And also, I have another question. Is it okay if I ask you another question?
Sure. Anything for you, Gracie.
Yeah, well, I just heard on the latest of The Chosen, they are actually LGBTQ. But that's what we found out just lately. And I had don't eat it. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, hang on. I knew this would happen. I saw this on Twitter 3-4 days ago, and I made a mental note to myself, and I said, I know what will happen. This will become like a prairie fire, and people will turn it into something that it's really not. And here's what it is. You saw a picture on the set of The Chosen. There was an LGBTQ pride flag tucked into like where the camera stand is. And there were like director's chairs and things. You probably saw that picture, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. that doesn't mean in any way that the actors or the, you know, the producers or whoever's involved with that, it doesn't mean that they hold that view. It means that somebody in the crew, whoever it was, and we don't know, tucked a little flag in the space. Somebody took a picture of it, went out on social media, and now everybody's buzzing and worried that the Chosen is now gone gay. That's not what that is.
Yeah.
So my humble advice would be, don't read more into that than what it really is. Now, whoever did it obviously wanted to make a point. And I don't know, because I don't know any of the people involved, the actors or anyone else. I don't know like what their personal convictions are, but just because somebody on the crew or whomever tucked a flag in some gear for the production and took a picture of it and put it on social media. But when I first saw it, I thought, I know where this is going to go and I know it's going to happen. And you're sort of confirming it to me. And I don't mean to, I'm not grinding on you or anything like that, Gracie. I'm just saying this is the nature of the internet. Sometimes things that might seem one way, you find out that they're not. Let me give you an example, Gracie. Cyrus, you and I were talking just the other day about these videos that were appearing on social media showing Target stores with mannequins that had devil clothing on them. And the mannequins were in the form of like, you know, Baphomet, the goat-headed version of Satan.
They were straight up evil. Yeah. My jaw dropped. And
it was like a commercial for this.
Yeah,
right?
And it looked super real. And you're like, Cyrus, dig in, find out more. And it was all AI.
Complete fake.
Yep, it was not
complete
real.
Complete fakery. Now, believe me, Gracie, I've got a bone to pick with Target. I think most thinking people do. But when I first saw that, I said, this can't be real, because they, you know, they're like blatantly putting devil-related clothing on devil mannequins. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was. Somebody had concocted it. But I'll bet you somewhere there are people who are frantically, you know, calling everybody and telling them that they've got devil mannequins in Target, and yeah, that's not what it was.
Patrick, did you see on social media, there was a lot of posts of videos of Targets being ransacked, just completely.
Oh, and that wasn't anything to do with this.
Right, but they're saying, it had to do with, look at these far-right radical Christian, yeah, these Christian radicals demolishing a Target, and it was from the Black Lives Matter protests during COVID.
Yeah, I remember one in particular, Cyrus, that had, there's a siren going off in the background, like a smoke alarm kind of siren going off in the background. The store interior is completely trashed. There are people like wandering around in a daze. And you're right that somebody did post that and others like it to say that here's what these Christian white nationalist people are doing against Target because they don't like gay people. Completely not true. So, Gracie, please understand the spirit in which I'm saying this. I'm not trying to, you know, pile on or anything like that. But there's an example of something that it really doesn't rise to the level of what some people are concerned about, that suddenly now the Chosen has suddenly become gay. Now, if it should happen, and thanks for the call, Gracie, if it should happen that more and something more specific or something tied more directly in some way that's provable, verifiable, if it's tied in some way to a producer or an actor or something, that would be different, you know, and so we'll wait and see. But everything that I've seen on that particular quote-unquote story is just simply a picture of a gay pride flag somewhere on the set. And that doesn't mean a hill of beans. So it's my two cents. Let's see. Let's go to Conan now in Florida. Good morning, Conan.
Good morning. My question is in regards to a book called Heaven's Last Call to Humanity. And it seems to be the visionary or the visions from a woman named Maureen Sweeney Kyle. Okay. And it looks like it is endorsed by Reverend Albert J. Hebert, who is a Society of Mary person. And so I was just trying to get your take on if you are familiar with this, are you familiar with these people? Is this something that's legit that should be read or should not be read?
What was her name again? Maureen Sweeney? What?
Maureen Sweeney-Kyle.
Kyle, K-Y-L-E?
Correct.
Okay. I am not familiar with the book. But I would like to take a look here, and I'm looking now on Amazon, and let me go to it. What's it called again?
Heaven's Last Call to Humanity.
Yeah, I don't even see it in the listings. There are other books with similar titles. The reason I was doing this is I wanted to find out when it was copyrighted. And some of these other books were copyrighted in 1999, 98, 2007 by the same author. And this is, without ever having read it or seen it, this suggests to me that she is somebody who went to an alleged Marian apparition site someplace and probably, like many other people, convinced herself that she suddenly now is receiving apparitions or locutions. She's now a seer, and she's got her own version of the things that she is saying that the Blessed Mother is telling her, and she published a book, and that's what this is. And there are many of these kinds of books. So I don't put any stock in them at all. I'm not saying that you couldn't or shouldn't read it, but I don't know what the value would be, especially if it's coming from a self-appointed alleged seer. I mean, there are many, many people who fit that description, and I don't pay any attention to them because I know that in due time, if they are authentic, that will rise to the surface. Just like the children at Fatima, for example, in 1917, they were regarded by many in the area, not all, but many regarded them as just liars. You little lying kids. Why are you saying this? Why are you talking about this stuff? You know it's not true. Her own mother, Lucia's own mother, Lucia, as it's pronounced, her own mother was very angry with her because she didn't believe her. But the reason I use them and others like them as an example is because in due time, when these things are indeed authentic, that comes to the surface and it becomes clear that this is somebody who's credible. But we have countless men and women who self-proclaim to be seers, and they write books and they give conferences and they do whatever. And I just pay them no never mind. Until and unless the church says, yes, this is for real, I just don't pay attention. Those are my thoughts on it, and I can apply that to this book, even though I don't know anything about it.
Sounds good. That's fair. And any comment on the Society of Mary?
Not familiar with it.
There's a couple references to
Society
of Mary. You're not?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean anything one way or the other. It's not casting aspersions on them. But if it's a group that is relatively small or relatively recent and has been given permission by the church to, you know, form a religious order, you know, that's certainly the church's business to decide whether or not to do that. But other than that, I just don't know anything about them. Let me put it this way, Conan. The Jesuit order has been around for 500 years. And the Jesuit order has produced some really great and important saints. And yet there are also Jesuits who are practically into enemies of the church. So even in a long established order, there can be a mixed bag. And in the case of an order that seems probably very recent, or it's not a religious order that has much of a track record, it's really hard to say.
Gotcha. Yeah, it says it was founded in 1816. But if you're not familiar with them, they must not be very mainstream, I guess, or very big.
Well, the fact that I'm not familiar with them doesn't mean much of anything. I'm just a guy with a microphone. So don't use me as the standard by which you would judge any other thing. I just personally have not, you know, they haven't shown up on my radar screen until today. But that doesn't mean anything one way or the other. Who knows? Maybe they've got many great saints who have come out of that order. So thanks for the call, Conan. I appreciate it. Let's go to Matthew now in Eastville, California. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick note before I get into any questions. I just wanted to say that I just really love what you do on your show. There was a time that maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, when I was at a really low point, it was more complicated than that. I had just lost my job at Disney due to some helping to take care of someone in their final moments, but wasn't a family member, and corporate stuff being what it will be, I got the cut there. So anyway, I as I was without a job for a while, I was at a low point. I'm thinking, great, what's this in term for doing a work's mercy, right? I was listening to your show as I would do DoorDash runs around the city, and just I learned a lot more about my faith, and that was what really spurred on a great deepening of my faith like I had never had before. And for 3 years, I've been on that path now, and I just wanted to thank you very much for all you do.
That's beautiful. I love that, Matthew, and I love hearing that, and I think you're encouraging a lot of other people who are listening right now. I'm noticing the clock. I think I heard you say you did have a question to ask. We're going to run out of time right now. Do you mind holding over the break, and we'll get to your question on the other side?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, great. Thanks for the vote of confidence. That goes a long way here. Everybody here at Relevant Radio is smiling ear to ear right now. Thank you. I'm coming right back to you, Matthew, right after this.
No.